Welcome to No Cartridge Audio. My name's Trevor Strunk. I'm back with you finally again. Sorry for the delay. I feel like I say that every week, but hopefully soon it'll just be every other day, and then we'll just have no delays at all. It's just been a busy week, but I've had this idea for a while to talk about, and I figured it was a little while since I've done a patron-only episode, so tonight I'm going to. This episode is about Nier Automata again, but kind of just by way of a back door. What I really want to talk about today, I want to start with a question. A friend of the podcast, Mike Taggart, suggested that questions might be the way to approach this a little bit, and I think he might be right, if only because a lot of the things I'm wondering about with video games boil down to the sort of like centralized question that I have no answer for. And so today's podcast is going to be about answering the question of why we bother grinding for experience and gold and, you know, various items and stuff like that in JRPGs. Now, in terms of American RPGs, what we called CRPGs in the last episode on Planescape, there's no real reason why we have to question this. It's simply a matter of, I don't know, linearity. Most games like Planescape or Baldur's Gate or anything like that revolve around a certain kind of linearity, particularly Planescape in this case, where enemies don't return as quickly as you'd like, so actually building up experience is not really an option. You have to kind of make choices as you go through. That's the Dungeons & Dragons approach, wherein the stats you get are sort of the stats that you have to live with. You make choices throughout. You min things and max things. That's min-maxing, right? As people say. And you can sort of imagine the same thing in MMORPGs. There's sort of a different sort of sense of grinding there. Obviously, there's a lot of it, but it's more of a social gathering, which makes it different. In JRPGs, it's completely solitary. You basically level up your character to max so that they are fully powerful. In some cases, you still have to deal with shortcomings and make choices, but far less sort of dramatic ones than you would in something like Planescape. And so I was wondering why we bother doing this, because of course, so another way of asking this question is, why do we play RPGs in the first place, right? Obviously, I think if you'd ask most people, they would tell you it's because of the plot. So why did you play Final Fantasy VII? Well, you know, the plot really got to me, and the images in it, and people talk about the cross-dressing cloud part, which is like a big deal in terms of gender studies these days, or talking about the death of Aeris as sort of like the first indication of tragedy in video games, or just the plot line in and of itself. Some people say it's stupid, some people say it's great, the materia system. There's all sorts of reasons, but a lot of them have to do with either things you get in the game or plot lines in the game. And this goes for any sort of classic RPG, at least any sort of classic turn-based RPG. However, most games' plots are pretty replaceable, right? Especially post, say, Final Fantasy II or Final Fantasy III or Final Fantasy VI, I suppose, if you're trying to be a Puritan about it. You have sort of a big corporate or spiritual entity that threatens to take over the entire world, or a general existential threat from the stars, or something along those lines that a ragtag group of people have to get together to destroy. Inevitably, there's some sort of commentary on politics or religion, especially organization, particularly as opposed to individualism, and it's defeated, and in the end, we all win. There's some sort of romance. There's sort of like a friendship that grows up. Maybe one of the characters dies, and it's really sad. But most of the plots are fairly standard, and most of the times not all that inspiring, if I can risk sort of a controversial opinion. So insofar as we're not playing these games for like brilliance in terms of narrative, why do we play them in the first place? Because there are games that do narrative fairly well without the gatekeeping elements of leveling up, spending 35 hours just constantly in these repetitive battles, or even if you don't level up, going through dungeons just in repetition, same thing over and over and over and over again. Why do we keep coming back to JRPGs? There's still big business. The question restated then is something like, why do we come back to the exact version of storytelling that JRPGs provide us? And I think on some level, for some people, it's pleasurable, right? This idea of repetition is something that is really enjoyable to some people, especially in terms of like discrete moments of repetition. There's a workaday pleasure of it. You know, it's solvable problems. It's gamified life. However, I'm not so sure how much I buy that for everyone, right? There's a subset of people that really is truly like the pleasure of it. And there are games that I find repetitive, but that please me. And so that's not unreasonable. If you said that was your reason, that's fine. However, I don't think that counts for everyone. And if it's about differing mechanics or innovation in video games, some video games do that. But frankly, more and more, I think you can look at most of the classic RPGs and see the same basic attack, magic, item, and some variation on one of the three that happens in the game. And you get your turn-based RPGs and that's it, right? On a certain level, the entire aesthetic of the game, though, is based on this grinding, right? It's never that different. It's never that different in terms of narrative. It's never that different in terms of mechanics. The only thing that sort of remains the same and remains the same sort of lasting appeal in the game is this idea of leveling up, fighting battles, doing the sort of slow grind upward, up the hill towards mastery of everything in the world, right? Another way of saying this is, even if you claim that the innovation of the narrative is your thing, you can't move forward in these games without a consistent and interminable commitment to grinding. A lot of this, I wager, is a concession to nostalgia, wherein we remember what it was like to play these games as a young person with all the time in the world, paid for by our parents on some level or another, or gotten through misbegotten youth. And we remember the hours because as a child, you can spend hours doing almost anything and it's fun, right? I remember listening to albums 30 times in a row while leveling up in Final Fantasy VII or Xenogears or whatever. It's a pleasurable memory. I like the memory, right? So returning to the game makes me feel as if I can go back and experience something that I've experienced before and really enjoyed. And in that, RPGs build these expectations based on hours of free time that are either not available or, if they are available to you, are not really as pleasurable as you remember them being, right? There's a difference between the sort of sunny, hazy days of youth where you literally had nothing to do, so you spent your time fighting the same monsters in Final Fantasy VII for an entire day to get one drop, and the reality of having to do that as an adult by yourself in a room. If you're doing it with a bunch of people, fine. It's halfway just a social experience. If you're doing it by yourself, that is not going to be as fun when you're 30 as it was when you were 14. It's just, like, not the case. Maybe it is, but I'm going to make that claim for my podcast anyway. For me, it's not the case, right? And so I still have the question. Which brings me to Nier in a roundabout way. I was talking to my friend Xander on Twitter. He is at XEECEEVEVO, so CVVEVO. And he noted that Nier was actually kind of an interesting game because the grind was all narrative. There was a way in which every piece of action or quest or fetch quest or anything like that brought you some sort of narrative closure, right? As opposed to, there's experience involved, there's gold involved, there's treasure involved, all the stuff that's naturally in any RPG or any JRPG. But there's also a level of linearity to the game that I think is unique. The game itself actually functions in a way that you never have to go back and level up. You could always just kind of keep going forward. And if you kind of fight the battles that you're forced to fight in the game, you'll level up at a reasonable pace and not have to, go out of your way to buy stuff. Crafting tools are all over the place if you want to craft. But if you don't, there's weapons, there's sort of upgrades, there's all sorts of things you can find just by following the game. So the quests actually aren't about grinding to get to the next level. They're grinding to sort of reveal something about the story, right? There's simply no need with the action RPG elements to level up dramatically. And in fact, it would ruin any of the fun of the combat. So the game is actually essentially designed to keep you going forward, right? So Nier replaces experience and gold with narrative, and this grows the story in the world around you as you're the reward for the game, as the reward for like playing the game. So in parsing out the game's narrative this way, Nier once again tips the logic of RPGs into the world of self-reflection, provoking a sort of refiguration of typical mores around grinding. Instead of grinding for loot in order to perpetuate the game, you grind for game to perpetuate the game. It's a kind of tautology, right? We grind because you get to the that's how you get to the narrative. Narrative leads to narrative, as opposed to narrative leads to battle leads to narrative, right? In the tautology of that, though, narrative is narrative. You get the revelation of the irrationality behind the traditional method of grinding, which is in it of itself both problematized, obviously, if Nier gives you a fetch quest that eventually ends with you getting something important, as opposed to just getting, like, 70 gold or something like that. Clearly, it's a self-critique of JRPG mores. However, it's also mythologizes those mores, right? Because you're in a dead world, you're in a dying world, you're in sort of a fallen place. So the fact that the narrative relies upon helping other people in this terrible world remythologizes the older, more sort of identitarian or individualist way of existing. I think there's a lot to say about that old way of grinding, but I think we're going to have to wait until I get to a more traditional JRPG to do so. I'm going to play Xenogears at some point, so, you know, you can look forward to that. But I do think it's very interesting the way in which Nier and other contemporary games basically do an end around the concept of traditional grinding, making us ask that question, why do we even bother to do this in the first place? It's not openly fun. It's not meant to be openly fun. It's rigorous and repetitive. In a way, it's a little bit like reading, in a lot of the ways these games are. You do the same thing over and over and over again, and you get a deeper understanding of the game. However, the challenge a game like Nier takes on is saying, let's not do the repetitive part, let's just present the story itself. And then, of course, as Nier ends, as we'll find out as we go on, the story repeats again and again, as opposed to the battles. So there's a different kind of grind, a narrative grind, that, again, critiques but also lionizes the classical one. So anyway, there's a lot to do. There's a lot to talk about. There are many more memories and fond memories of JRPGs to ruin. But that's all for today. Thanks for listening in, and game in power, and I will see you next time. Thank you for being here for this patron-only episode.